I'm doing a series on Genesis. Started with Genesis 1, where God creates the universe. And after Genesis 1, the right posture is to be on your knees, just praising and worshiping God for who he is, what he is. Chapter 2, he puts human beings in relationship with all the things that he's created. After that chapter, we should be on our knees thanking God for what he's done for us. Genesis 3 is another matter. In fact, I don't want to go there. Here's Genesis 1 and 2. I love this. This is Eden. This is perfection. I mean, you know, it's just a dreamland here. And it's good. It's all good. Two chapters in the Bible are good. I mean, in the Old Testament storyline, okay? Just two chapters. That's it. And I'm just kind of reticent to go a little further because once you enter chapter 3, all hell breaks loose. And I just say that literally. It all breaks loose. And the rest of the storyline, I told you before, there's two things that are constant in the Old Testament. One is we fail God. Secondly, he adores failures and sinners and comes after us. That's consistent. The people don't get better. Don't laugh. Because if you squint hard enough, you'll see your face on their bodies. This story isn't just a story about the past. It's written down because it's a story about us. This is our story. This is our sin. This is our guilt. And that's why I don't want to go there. Because it just gets bad. You know, there's moments of goodness in Israel or like in even in our lives as we live our lives as Christians. There's moments of good. But I don't want to go there. I think of the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. This is the great fall. I mean, Humpty, I don't know what he was wearing that day, but he should have been wearing bubble wrap. You know, he just had this thin, you know, shell of something, and but he should have been wearing bubble wrap. Nothing he could do. He was done. There were none of the king's horses, none of the king's men could do anything about it. Nothing. It's over. For us, the same thing applies. Genesis 3 is the Independence Day for humanity. That's when we gain our independence from God. And it's a cool thing because we can do anything. We can go anywhere. We can be anything. We don't have to follow God. In the garden, there's rules. Do not eat of the tree. Then later, they're supposed to be helpers one to another. Care for the earth. This is Independence Day for humanity. Seems good. It's like a leaf. You know, a leaf, that poor little leaf just is so restricted, just kind of blows in heavy winds, then it comes off and you go, wow, this is great. They dance. The leaves dance in the streets. It's really cool. It's really great. But they're going to die, or they are dead. I mean, they're dead. But otherwise, it's pretty cool. You know, they're having a fun time. You see them dancing, don't you, these leaves. But they're dead. We want our own stuff. Genesis 3 is about you and I and the self-centeredness that has entered the world through sin. And now it's become hereditary. We call it original, which doesn't help much, that word. But it's your orientation from birth. A human being's orientation from birth, like Psalm 51, is towards self. Remember, we were created to worship and serve God, to be helpers to one another, and to care for the earth. And in that process, it's your work. You find meaning. Okay, that's what we're supposed to do. Now what happens, if you could draw a circle, instead of the arrows going out. See, we find ourselves in losing ourselves. But now if the circle is the self, and you have God, you have the earth, and you've got others over here, all the arrows are inward. We are curved in on ourselves, Martin Luther said. And we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Now, this is like addiction, isn't it? Sin is like addiction. We are addicted to self. Me, my. I thought 50 years ago when I was converted as a Christian, into being a Christian, I thought I'd be better by now. You know? I mean, I did. I thought I'd be, you know, better. Now, the problem is the old Adam and Eve still cling to you. They're still trying to bring you down. You still have an enemy. Satan roams the earth like a roaring lion. Now, we learn how to stiff arm it. We learn how to say no. And we gain discipline and so forth, but it's always there. This is Independence Day. And it's not a pretty sight. It's an addiction. And what happens is all humanity is in denial. That's why they can't see. See, when people in addiction, you want to get them to where they see that they have a need. I was doing pre-marriage with a couple and found out that he had been drinking every day since he was 12. And then he started talking about driving. I asked him, how often do you drive drunk? And he said, you know, he's named off a number, which was not small. And in the process of our talk, he said that he pushed his girlfriend down the stairs when he was drunk. And I said to him, so do you have a drinking problem? Oh, no, I don't have a drinking problem. Now, that's exactly the same dynamic with faith. There's an addiction. There's a denial. The human race denies that they have something wrong with them. All the religions of the world say with us, I mean, theistic religions that believe in God, we all say that there is redemption, but when it gets to human beings, the character of human beings and the depth of sin, we are with Muslims, we are with other theists, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, we believe that, we also believe too, that there's redemption. The problem is this, we believe sin is more serious than others. No other religion in the world says that sin is that serious. Why? Because they're given tasks to do. Performance. They're asked to do this and this and this and this and this and you'll be okay. This is where we differ from all other religions. Christianity says, you know what? We agree with you guys. Sin is serious. But we think that it's so serious that it's a complete thing. We're total failures before God. We are Humpty Dumpty. We are Humpty Dumpty. In fact, sometimes we think that there's other religions and there's Christianity. And that Christianity, oh, by the way, let me just define religion. Religion is what we think, doctrines, thoughts about God, and then also actions. Okay, that's religion. That's human religion, thinking, understanding things, and doing things. Okay? So we say that Christian religion gets us to God. The other ones don't. Remember those tracks where they have the cliffs, right? The cliffs, and God's here, humans are here, and they can't get together. In our minds, we kind of think, well, you know, have Hinduism, Buddhism, is like a little bridge that starts but never gets to God. Doesn't get you to God. Christians say that sin is so serious. And they also says that religion is so helpless that it's not going to get you there. Religion cannot get you to God. No religion can get you to God. Hold on to your hats, okay, if you got them. Oh, by the way, thank you for not wearing hats in church today. Religion doesn't get you to God, not even the Christian religion. Let me soak in a little bit. The Christian religion doesn't get you to God. Christian religion does not get you to God. Jesus Christ gets you to God. It's not coming to church, being baptized as an infant, you know, doing good things. That's none of it. We believe sin is total and complete. Only Jesus Christ gets us to God. Christianity is simply the proclaimer of that good news. You're a sinner, but Jesus Christ will get you back. Jesus Christ will put you up on the wall. Although after Humpty's thing, I'm not so sure we should let him go on a wall. No religion gets us to God. Jesus Christ gets us to God. We are naked. In the garden, remember they were naked in Genesis 1 and 2, which may symbolize also this idea that they're unconscious of self. They worshiped God, loved others, and cared for the earth. That's the Christian, or that's how we're made. Okay? But you get to chapter 3, and everything changes. Sin is serious. We differ from all other religions because we say, nope, we think sin is more serious than you guys are believing it. Nothing you can do. You are Humpty Dumpty. Remember running out of gas once. I was using our van years ago and ran out of gas on the interstate just about 5 miles from the town that we live in. I'm sorry, I blew the whole thing. The car stopped on me. It was half a tank, it said on the dial. But now you already know what I'm going to say. Is I walk 5 miles, they pick it up, takes them 2 days, and they finally call up and say, we found out what it was. You ran out of gas. See, that's this denial thing. We actually think we're full. We actually think we're complete without Jesus. We actually think that we're okay. We actually think that we might be sinners, but not as bad as somebody else. But we're empty. If you don't know Christ this morning, you're empty. You're empty. Now, there's good news. By the way, that they were naked. And then all of a sudden, they knew they were naked after the fall, which may, again, symbolize this idea that now they're curved in on themselves. Now they're thinking of themselves only. Just like we said, Independence Day. Independence Day. So what were they wearing in the garden? Remember, they had fig leaves? Pretty, you know, that's not a brand name. But the good news is that God kicks them out of the garden. And by the way, if we would have done nothing, we would have worried because our salvation's in jeopardy. If God does not pursue a sinner in the scripture story, then we got a problem, don't we? If God, if there's not any hope that he's going to save a sinner, then we're all lost. But there's hope. It's his attire. It's his and her attire. He makes them design, you know, he lets them go, kicks them out, and he says, oh, come back here, come back here, come back. He gives them designer skins. They got skins, animal skins. And it's a step up. But what it is, it's a clue that God hasn't given up on sinners. It's hope. It's hope that there's still a chance. He loves sinners, and this is where it starts. And we're clothed by God. We still are clothed. He gives us food and children and family and government and all these great gifts. Doesn't he? He clothes us. He clothed Adam and Eve. I think it's about wardrobe. It's not who you know. It's not what you know. It's your wardrobe. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? Max Lucado or Lucado, whatever. Does anybody know the real pronunciation of that one? Yeah. Tomato? Potato? Okay. This is what he says in Introduction to the Grip of Grace. He talks about attire and wardrobe. My only qualification for writing a book on grace is the clothing I wear. And he goes on and he talks about this, and I've said this before. He talks about owning this elegant outfit. And he looked dapper, and he said, the pants were cut from the cloth of my good works, sturdy fabric of deeds done and projects completed. The coat was equally impressive, woven together from my own convictions. Each day I dressed myself in deep feelings of religious fervor. My emotions were quite strong. And he goes on and on talking about how proud he was of his clothing, of his own good works. He thought, surely God is impressed with my garment and all my garments. But then he claims that he discovers that he was wearing rags. Over a period of a few months, my wardrobe was self-righteousness completely unraveled. I went from tailored gentleman's apparel to beggar's rags. Fearful that God might be angry at my tattered suit, I did my best to stitch it together and cover my mistakes. But the cloth was so worn, the wind was so icy, I gave up. I went back to God. Where else should I go? A wintry Thursday afternoon, I stepped into his presence, not for applause, but for warmth. I feel naked. You are, and you have been for some time. We're naked. We are sinners. And you may not know Christ yet, or you may know Christ, but you're not repentant of your sins. Genesis 3 should get our attention. It's very serious. We need redemption and reconciliation with God. This is the beginning of the Bible. The end of the Bible in Revelation, the last chapter, talks about John relating what's happening up in the heavenly vision. And the last chapter says this. Jesus says, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to go through the city gates. And you hear that? That this is the same place as the garden. This is back to Eden. There's a chance to get back to Eden. And it's not because of the clothes you wear. It's not because of your own righteousness at all. So what does that mean? That those who wash their robes are blessed and they have the right to eternity in heaven. Well, chapter 7 gives us a clue. 7:14, he sees this sea of human beings in white robes who have passed. They have washed their robes, an angel says, in the blood of the Lamb. Again, it's the clothing we wear. Christianity begins only if you go through chapter 3. You got to go through chapter 3. Otherwise, you might have a religion that either lets you off the hook or keeps you in your loneliness. You got to go through 3, and it's not pretty. Because, again, you should see your face on Adam and Eve's face. It's the clothing that we wear. We have a glimpse of it in Genesis with the clothing that he clothed them with, but we see it all in Revelation. It's the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Are you repentant of your sins this morning? Some of you, you know, I don't care to know who is and who isn't unless you need some counsel or something. But many people come to church, aren't repentant of their sins, and they don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't want that to happen in a church that anybody misses Jesus Christ. Because he wants to put a robe on you. And then also back to Humpty, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're back on the wall. We're back on the wall because of repentance. You got to go through 3 and confess your sins to get to Christian's main message, which is Jesus Christ died for you. Put your faith in him. If today is the day of salvation for you, you'll probably have some sense of the Holy Spirit tugging at you. I don't want anybody here not to know Christ. Or to, you know, many times people lose their way. And they're Christians, but they get into sin and they're not repentant of it. That might be you. Or you may just now be being stirred by the Holy Spirit, coming to an understanding that there is a Christ who clothes you. He clothes you, and he will clothe you. What I'm going to do now is we've missed the brief order for confession and forgiveness, and I want to do it now. And I want this to be, this is a Lutheran altar call. And by the way, you can also make communion a Lutheran altar call, right? So I'm going to give you a chance before communion that maybe for the first time you're going to give your life to Christ. Or maybe you've been wandering and in sin, it's just been leading you astray, and you want to change that today. We're going to confess our sins. That's how we get in. We get clothed. We admit our nakedness. We get clothed with Christ's righteousness. We're clothed with Christ's righteousness if we repent and believe. So I want to take, like we usually do, a moment of silence so we can confess our sins privately to God. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And before you receive the forgiveness of sins, this is serious. Get right with God. Please get right with God. He loves you so much. He adores you so much. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've sinned. It doesn't matter. If you're truly repentant and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be given his righteousness today. And now receive the absolution. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you and to clothe you. And for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and he bestows on them his Holy Spirit.